بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. جعل لكم السمع وأبصار وأفيدة لعلكم تشكرون. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: إنما الأعمال بالخواتم، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين وشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله. We are now on lesson number 44, discussing about the secrets and wisdoms concerning fundamental aspects of tahara. There are three types of tahara. Cleanliness. Cleanliness from hadas. That is hadas, najasat, a hukmi, intangible impurity. These are those conditions from which cleanliness can be attained by performing wuzu or ghusl. Ghusl, we must know, and wuzu, they are specific forms of ascertaining purity. One cannot say, I had a bath, and say, I am pure. In Islam, alhamdulillah, we are unique, special. Everything of ours is different. How we sit, how we eat, how we go to toilet, how we attain purity, how we bath, all this is unique. A person just cannot say, I had a bath, and say, I went under the shower, I came out. No, ghusl is the technical word for bath, and it is done in a particular manner. Wuzu, washing for prayer, for salah, is done in a particular manner. So we are so special as Muslims that everything of ours, that going to the toilet, making wuzu, ghusl, attaining purity, all these things are special. And alhamdulillah, we as Muslims have got all special things to do. The second method, second category of taharat is cleanliness from najasat e haqiqi, physical impurity. This actual impurity can be either on the body, the clothing, or on any area. Thirdly, cleanliness from impurity that accumulate in various other areas of the body, such as the mouth, teeth, nostrils. It also includes paring of the nails, removing hair from the armpit and pubic area. Now the first type of tahara forms part of ibadat, because wuzu and ghusl are injunctions of the sharia. The other types, two types of tahara, form part of common etiquettes, mannerism, and physical personal hygiene. It is for this reason that these forms of tahara are practiced by all nations of the world, whereas wuzu and ghusl are unique to the Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created mankind, and if a man is in natural disposition, then that person would like to have physical impurity removed and will be inclined towards personal hygiene, whether that person believes or does not believe. That person would like body to be clean, clothing to be clean, area to be clean. That person would like that the teeth, the mouth, the nostrils to be clean. That person would like that the nails should be pared, and hair in unwanted areas, armpit, pubic areas, to be removed, provided that man is on natural disposition. Islam obviously is the natural Sharia, natural deed. Therefore, it encourages all this personal hygiene, common natural ethics, and therefore that lengthy hadith, and you can see the elucidation of that hadith on my website alislam.co.za, that Allama Sayyid Palampuri, Shaykhul Hadith of Deoband, has written, Dari or Anbiya ki Sunnate, that the beard and the sunnats of the Anbiya alayhi salam, wherein he discusses the hadith in which Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about those 10 natural qualities of the previous Anbiya alayhi salam, and those qualities are for every individual, let alone Muslim, non-Muslim. And wuzu and ghusl, they are specifically for Muslims, and it is unique to us Muslims. Now, how to recognize hadas and tahara? What is hadas and what is tahara? That is the question. The basis for recognizing these is the temperament and the senses of the Anbiya, because these were those people who were imbued and imbibed with divine light. The conditions in which they sense discomfort are the conditions of the hadith, and the conditions in which they sense comfort and joy were the conditions of tahara. First of all, Allah Azza wa Jal, He sent down the various Anbiya alayhi salam for the guidance of mankind. And the Anbiya alayhi salam brought various messages besides Tawheed, Risalat and Akhirat. And the Anbiya alayhi salam were also the geniuses of the times, of their times. And they were in communion with Allah, and also were imbued with divine guidance. Divine light, referring to divine guidance. And the conditions which made them feel discomfort, these are the conditions and the state of hadas, impurity. And the conditions which made them feel joy and comfort and ease, that's the condition of taharat. Now when you look, even if you are used to purity, then you will feel joy, peace, tranquility, comfort, ease when you are in a state of purity. And you will feel uneasy, discomfort, and you will feel a great sense of uneasiness when you are not in the state of purity. That is why you will find that the pious, righteous always would like to be in the state of cleanliness, hygiene, and also because this imitates the malaika. Malaika are pure. That is why malaika surround the places which are pure, wholesome, and clean. And that is why we read the various du'as for toilet, so that we are protected from the rebellious shayateen and jinnat, because those places of impurity and dirt and filth, they create discomfort and uneasiness. Now, the forms of taharat and recognizing the things that lead to taharat. Simply speaking, how can one purify oneself from impurity, hadas? And what are the factors that lead to taharat, purity? The basis of this is derived from that which was always accepted, the accepted practices of previous nations. These stemmed from the surviving teachings of the Jews and the Christians, the Majus, and the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, basically the Arabs. According to these nations, the intangible form of impurity, that is hadas, was of two types: the major form, akbar, and the minor form, asgar. The forms of tahara, therefore, also have the same two types. Since it was always the practice of the Arabs to purify themselves from the major form of intangible impurities through ghusl, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also classified the two forms of taharat according to the two forms of hadas. Now, the concept and the idea of purity from impurity, because the teachings of the various Anbiya alayhi salam came down, Islam did not come to demolish all the previous teachings. But when we study it, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, he changed completely that which was erroneous and maintained and accepted those things which were natural to mankind's disposition. So the surviving teachings of the Jews and the Christians, the Majus and the progeny of Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, which came down and which was prevalent and which was permissible to act upon on the judgment of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who came with guidance and also who is divinely inspired, then ghusl, wuzu was brought as methods of getting ourselves clean from impurity. We therefore have the major form of attaining tahara, to purify one from the major form of hadas. This is achieved through ghusl. Since this form of impurity, such as hadas and janabat, is less common, when this form of hadas takes place, the impurity is serious, and the self requires that something drastic be done to feel purified. At the same time, it needs to be something that does not have to be done too often. Obviously, and simply speaking, that there are certain things that make wuzu necessary, and there are certain things that make ghusl necessary. Because of the minor things making wuzu necessary, and they are not major like those things that make ghusl necessary. So that which makes ghusl necessary is something that affects the entire body. That is why we have to make a ghusl. For example, the coming out of semen, that affects the entire body. Therefore, the entire body feels discomfort, it feels not at ease. Therefore, ghusl, washing of the entire body, has been stipulated. But, for example, passing of wind. Now, this does not affect the entire body. Passing of stool or urine, it does not affect the entire body. Therefore, now, in order to legitimize salat, we will make wuzu only, because it is not as great as coming out of semen. Then we have the minor form of attaining taharat, to purify one from the minor form of hadas. This is achieved through wuzu. Since this form of impurity, relieving oneself, is more common. Now we have got two factors. And Islam is so beautiful, so easy and so natural, that a person, because of the biological makeup of man passes out urine, stool, discharge of gas, and this happens quite often. Now, can you imagine if it was that you pass out stool, you have to make ghusl, or you pass out urine, you have to make ghusl, or you discharge gas, you have to make ghusl? Now that will be impractical, and that will be not in keeping with a natural form of Sharia. Sharia is so easy and so beautiful that because passing of stool and passing of urine is so common, now Allah Ta'ala has made it easy that you have to make wuzu if you are to go perform salah, etc., not ghusl. But passing out of semen, now that is not as often as passing out of stool or urine, that is a rarity now and then. Because it is not as frequent as passing out of urine or stool or discharge of gas, then Allah Ta'ala has made the Sharia in a way that if passing out of semen, then you make ghusl, because it will be more practical, it's easier. Now then, what is hadas? What is impurity? Hadas refers to many things which the person with a sound perception will be able to identify, such as swearing, harboring enmity for pious people, and having filthy thoughts. People with a sound perception would naturally be repulsed by such things. However, when addressing the common man, such things have to be presented to him that are tangible and which he is able to perceive through his senses. The Sharia has therefore not stated that movements in the stomach would necessitate wuzu, but has stated that wuzu needs to be made when wind escapes from the rear. To clarify further, something will be classified as being impure, hadas, when the following three factors are found. The magnitude of the disorder in the stomach cannot be quantified so as to be able to state how much of it will constitute hadas. Further, when the disorder in the stomach is found, it cannot be treated with the wuzu, because wuzu is something external which cannot be effective to something internal. This simply means that the wuzu cannot stop what is happening in the stomach. However, that which escapes from the stomach can be sensed and even quantified. When something is external, it can be likewise treated with something external as well. That is why The order is not given when there is rumblings in the stomach. Person can feel gas in the stomach. You hear these days people say, I got a headache. The Hakims are saying because of gas in the head. People saying, no, I got gas and I got chest pains because of gas. Now, no orders are given for that. But when that gas escapes, then the order is given for it. When that gas escapes and now it is external, and because it is external, it can be quantified, now the order is given for it, that you'll have to make wuzu. So the order in Sharia is natural. It is not that a person was swearing, now we'll say, go and make wuzu. Because this is something cannot be measured in one area to another area. But gas coming out in one area of the world and gas coming out in another area of the world, it basically is gas coming out. And it can be quantified and it is external, therefore the law will be external because it can be sensed. Number two, when something emerges from the two private parts, a feeling of repulsion is sensed. This repulsion actually has a physical appearance in the form of soiling caused by the impurity upon the body. It is for this reason that the actual exiting of an impurity from the two private parts is classified as impure, and not the mere repulsion caused by the discomfort within the body, because this has no physical appearance that the common man is able to assess. To classify just this repulsion as hadas could make matters too complicated for the people. Basically what is being said, that if a person is saying that I have got indigestion and I'm not feeling well, and you know there are a lot of things moving in my system, there's a lot of uneasiness in my body and my chest, a lot of things are happening in my stomach, and there is great discomfort, and this is a repulsion, and this is something I cannot bear and I cannot stomach, and this is something, an order supposed to be put on it. Now Islam is simple. The order will be put not on everybody's repulsion, because one person may be able to bear the reflux, or he may be able to bear the movement in the stomach and the chest, etc., but another person may not be able to bear it. So repulsion, discomfort, not to be at ease for one person may be on the scale 9 to 10, for another person 4 to 10. But the order of getting purity would not be on the repulsion or the discomfort, but it will be when something actually comes out of from either of the two private parts. And this feeling can be sensed, and this repulsion can be felt, can be heard, can be sensed, can be quantified, and that is why the natural Shariat is saying, then the order, go and make wuzu, will come about. Not when the discomfort or the repulsion is being felt within the body. You have to see, hear, sense externally, then the order will come about. Thirdly, wuzu will have an effect on the soul only when it has ceased being preoccupied with the impurity. This will take place only when the impurity has emerged, has come out from the two private parts. Because as long as the stomach is feeling the discomfort, the impurity will remain continuous, and wuzu will have no effect. Now wuzu is to give relief to the repulsion. Wuzu is to give comfort to the discomfort. Wuzu is to give ease to the repulsion. Now, when there is movement in the stomach, and there is a lot of movement in the stomach, a person, if he goes and make wuzu, is not going to solve the problem. Because the cause of discomfort, the movement of gas, or the urine presence there, or the stool present, which is causing discomfort, is still there. If a person, for example, he wants to go to toilet, and he cannot find a toilet, he'll be in great discomfort. In fact, he will be not at ease. He'll be moving around, jumping around, waiting, looking where he must go and relieve himself. Similarly, if a person wants to go to pass stool and he cannot find a toilet, he'll be in great repulsion, discomfort. He will not be at ease until he goes and relieves himself or herself. But that person who is in a state of discomfort due to not passing gas, that person who is in a state of repulsion due to not passing stool, and that person who is not in a state of ease because that person has not passed out urine, if that person has to go and make wuzu, it's not going to solve the problem. It's not going to remove the discomfort. But if that person goes and passes out gas, or that person urinates, or that person passes out stool, then that person will be now have removed the impurity. And because the impurity has been removed, now that person will make wuzu for freshness and to become at ease and peace and tranquility and to bring that whole body into the state of hygiene and purity. And then it will be obviously effective. Otherwise it is not going to be effective. As long as the discomfort and the disorder is found in the stomach, that there will be no order of the Shariat. But once the discomfort, the cause of the discomfort, and the cause of the disorder, and the cause of the repulsion, and the cause of the uneasiness comes out of the stomach, then Shariat's order will come about that that person now needs to make wuzu. And now, because it has come externally, the order of the Shariat will automatically apply. The discomfort felt in the bowels is also impurity in some way. As indicated by the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, none of you should perform salat while the two impurities are bearing down on him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised that salat should not be performed when the need is urgent to relieve oneself, because the person will then not be in the state of perfect purity. We know the famous masla, the masla is coming from here, that when you are indeed, you have to go to toilet, but there is also salah, then you must go to toilet first. Because if you go to salah, then you will not be able to perform your salah properly because of the impurity and the discomfort and the disorder in the stomach. But if you go and relieve yourself and remove the discomfort, and then make wuzu, now you'll be able to focus upon the salat that you are going to perform. That's why the hadith, none of you should perform salat while the two impurities are bearing down on him. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised that the salat not be performed when the need is urgent to relieve oneself, because the person will then not be in the state of perfect purity. A person, when he has to go before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the person has to perform salah, then that person needs to be in the state of perfect purity. For example, if a person is in need of ghusl, and now that person only makes wuzu and performs salah, now that person is not in the state of perfect purity, because in order to be in the state of perfect purity, that person has to perform the ghusl. And then, obviously, in the ghusl, that person is performing the wuzu, and now that person is in the state of perfect purity. And now that person will be able to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because there is no disorder in his stomach, there is no discomfort in his stomach, there is no uneasiness, and this is not going to influence his mind, his focus, his attention, his concentration. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated that that person should perform, he should go and to relieve himself in the toilet and then go and make the wuzu and then perform salah in a state of perfect purity, comfort and ease. Inshallah, in the next lesson we start discussing what is purity. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.